Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Entertainment Now podcast. My name is Nick.
I'm Ian.
And like always, if you're watching this on YouTube, I will say that like I suck. Like, to be honest, like I'm horrible at uploading things on YouTube. I think I've got most of them. I think I've got most of them uploaded to YouTube. I think I'm like I think it's just the last episode we just did last week. I think is the only one that's not up there. But the two that came up before that, I still have to do like the whole thumbnail and everything and actually post it. But it's actually like, by the time this episode comes out, I should have all that up and going. So if you're watching this on YouTube, give us a little thumbs up, you know, drop a comment, all that YouTube-y kind of stuff. What's been going on, Ian?
Nothing.
You've got nothing to talk about.
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I will say that there's been a bunch of great new music that's come out today, actually. You know who the Bomb Pops are?
Not familiar with their music so much. I've wanted to listen. You've played a couple songs for me.
Yeah. So the Bomb Pops are a female-fronted pop-punk band. They've released a couple of albums. Their second album, which is probably one of my favorite punk albums of the last 20 years, came out in 2020. And then in like 2021 or 2022, one of the co-front women, because of health issues and some stuff going on at home, left the band. So Jen Rezavi, I think is how you say her last name. She goes by Jen Pop, but she was the remaining front woman for the band. She carried on without Polly Van Damme, and you know, kept going on as I think she's still touring as the Bomb Pops. She used one of the guitar techs was like the other, you know, came in to be the other front woman for the band, but today she released her first ever debut solo album. It's called East of Eden. Okay. It's really good. It's not like anything she did with the Bomb Pops. It's not really like punk music. It's more like it's more like poppy kind of rock kind of stuff. But she's got some like slower ballad stuff on there. It's a really good album. I've streamed it probably six times already today. I listened to it quite a bit this morning.
It truly says Jen Pop.
Under Jen Rezavi, I think is what it's under. But I think if you go on, I know on Apple Music, it's under Jen Pop on there. But because they were Jen Pop and Polly Pop, but Polly used, once she left the Bomb Pop, she used her married last name, which is Van Damme. So.
Okay.
So that came out today. I've been listening to that a bunch. NoFX released an EP, I think it was last Friday, so a week ago. It's called Half Album, which I've been really disappointed with NoFX's music for the last, you know, 18 years pretty much. Ever since they released Wolves in Wolves Clothing, which was released back in 2006. They haven't released anything really of note. They did this like series of albums. They did a single album in, I think it was 2020 or 2021. And then the next year they released double album. Because originally when they were recording single album, it was supposed to be a double album, but they ended up just releasing half of it basically. And then they released double album. And then they said at that time when they released double album that they were going to do an EP to go along with it. It was going to be called Half Album, which single album was kind of shit. And double album wasn't a whole lot better, but Half Album's fantastic. I think probably Half Album's probably the best thing that they've done since 2006. I really enjoyed a couple of tracks on there, so I've been listening to that a lot lately. Of course, the new Pearl Jam album. I've been streaming the new Pearl Jam album, Dark Matter. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to really listen to it.
I've done one full listen through and a half of one so far.
Yeah.
Plus, well, two if you count when we went to the
listening party. Oh, that's right. We went to a listening party the Sunday before the album came out that did that?
Yeah, a week ago.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think it's probably their third best album of the 2000s. I don't think it's better than Lightning Bolt. I don't think it's better than Backspacer.
Right. I haven't had a chance to listen to it that deep, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
For what it's worth,
The thing I really like about the album is it's not, and where it's kind of different what was the last album that they did? Gigaton?
Gigaton, yeah.
Gigaton had this kind of, almost kind of like same sound through most of the album, where I feel like Dark Matter, there's kind of a variation. I mean, it still sounds like Pearl Jam, but I think they do some different sounds on the album that have... It doesn't give that one kind of overall tone, I guess.
Right.
But
no, there's a lot of diversity in the song.
Yeah, that's what...
For sure. Yeah. I definitely noticed that off the bat.
But yeah, I've been really enjoying it, though. I think it's one of their, like I said, one of their better albums of the last, 24 years, really. But
I did do a thing that I wasn't going to do.
What's that?
I bought the deluxe edition of that online.
New Miserable Experience. Bucks. $50 you paid for that? What's deluxe on it?
So it's got a second disc, which does have some like live tracks on it.
Yeah.
But it's also got all the tracks from the three EPs that came out before this.
Okay.
And they can't find the EPs anywhere. And they're all songs that aren't on their studio albums.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, it's almost a whole album's worth of songs right there. There's, 13 tracks.
Oh, wow.
That are, EPs are unreleased. So I was like, I'll do it. It justified it for me. So
was that their...
basically, it was their first, full release.
Okay.
So
what was the album that came out after that? Do you remember?
Congratulations, I'm sorry.
Okay. I think that's the one I've got. I've got one of their albums on vinyl. I don't think it's that one, though.
Yeah, I like that album a lot, too. I they don't have a lot of albums. I think they have 5 or 6 tops.
Yeah.
Maybe 5.
I've only heard their first two, so.
Yeah. Their newer material is really good, too. That's when we were at that listening party, I bought Mixed Reality. This came out in 2018.
Okay. I think that...
And it's pretty good. I haven't even opened it yet.
They just reissued that on vinyl within the last probably 6 or 8 months, I think. They did a deluxe...
That explains the 2022. This is a 2022 reissue of the 2018 album.
Oh, maybe it was 2022 then.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a while ago. But I know within...
They probably remastered it, too.
Within the last few years, they did a reissue of it on vinyl.
Yeah.
But... Because I was kind of surprised the way the image looks on the cover. I thought they were going to do a little more like a boxy kind of design for the vinyl, but it's just that same image, though.
Yeah. Well, it's a picture of a box. Yeah. So, and that's how the album cover's always been. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I haven't listened to it yet. I literally just opened it up, started digitizing it while I was getting ready to do this.
Yeah.
So, I still got my... Rancid, the new Rancid CD I got to do too.
You did pick up Tomorrow Never Comes?
Yeah.
Fantastic album, man.
With you.
I think it's probably Rancid's, it's probably one of their top 5 albums, I think. That's, I think In Out Come the Wolves, Life Won't Wait.
That's my favorite.
Those are my top 2 albums. I'd probably put Indestructible in front of that one. So maybe 4, maybe 5. It's definitely one of their top 5 albums. The funny thing was I wasn't even expecting much from their new album when they released it, because I hadn't their last 2 albums I wasn't a big fan of. I mean, they're not bad albums. Right. I just didn't think they were anything close to Let the Dominoes Fall or Indestructible, which were the albums that they released earlier in the 2000s. Was it Troublemaker? And I don't remember what the other one was, but that was their last 2 albums. But I wasn't a big fan of either one of those. I remember the day that Tomorrow Never Comes got released. I didn't know if I was gonna grab a copy of it or not. I was driving out to Dearborn Music, and because there was some other stuff that came out that week that I wanted to pick up, and I was like, I'm just gonna stream this. And it's not a very... I think it's 28 minutes long. It's not a long album at all.
Well, this album is not that long. I think this one's only about 29, 30 minutes tops.
What's that?
The new one.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a really short album. So I remember I was like, I'm just gonna listen to it on the way to the store. I listened to the entire thing, and I think I sat in Dearborn Music's parking lot listening to the last track, and I was like, holy shit, this is a damn good album. Like, I was really impressed with it. I went in the store and bought the indie exclusive version of it, and I bought it on CD. I bought 2 copies of it when I was at the store. So, it was one of my favorite albums from last year, and I'm surprised.
Really, I came to it late, so, I probably streamed it. Well, I think I streamed it once when you told me to, and I was like, yeah, that is really good. And then I just had my Spotify and shuffle, and one of the tracks came on from it. I was like, oh, yeah. And that was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. But yeah, I was, you know, it's, I think it's kind of rare for a band that's, you know, 30 years into their career to release an album that good, you know. Kind of the same, you know, along the same lines as I think, you know, Saviors by Green Day earlier this year. Yeah, I don't think it's as good, you know, as anything they did in the 90s. I think Warning is a better album. You know, I think it's, in my opinion, it's their best album since American Idiot, though. But
I don't know if I'd agree with that, but I do like it. I mean, in my opinion, they've only made one bad album.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd put it above even the trilogy. I know I'm
you're the minority
record, but I'm the minority, but I like the vast majority of the trilogy.
Yeah.
Does it need to be three albums? No, I could probably scale it down to maybe 1.5 to 2 albums tops, but you know, overall that's still almost 2/3 of the trilogy is really good in my opinion.
Well, that's just what I'm saying though, is like that far in a band's career, it's not that common that they release, you know, a really good album.
Right. Oh yeah, Saviors is definitely solid. It's definitely a solid album, and so is this one.
Tomorrow Never Comes. Instance.
Tomorrow Never Comes. Yeah.
It's good album.
Yeah, I remember when it came out. You're like, yeah, there's 16 songs on it. It's 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, that reminds me of so there's a, I don't know, I've talked about this band Scooped Up. This is their album, The Runs, that came out in January. One of my favorite albums of the year so far, but that's how this album is. This album is, there's 14 tracks on here, and I think it's 28 minutes. Really short album, but it's really good. The funny thing was, I bought that album in like January, February. I bought it on vinyl and CD. And then like probably maybe like a week ago, they were like, they messaged me on Instagram and they were like, hey, if we send you a copy of it on vinyl and CD, will you do a review on the channel? And I was like, I already have it, but yeah, sure, I'll do an unboxing video on it. So I just shot one yesterday. I just shot a video I'll have up, you know, next Friday, or the Friday after this video comes up for the album, that unboxing I did for it. It's a great album though. It's pop punk stuff. And it's like, it's not the, like, it's very reminiscent of like 1998, 1999 kind of punk stuff. It's very reminiscent.
Okay,
like,
so
it's like early,
like Blink-ish.
Yeah, it's like early Blink. I'd say like Dude Ranch Blink. It's like Kerplunk. Yeah, it's like you know, some like early Sum 41 kind stuff.
Kind of upbeat punk.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really good album. It's you know, super catchy. It sounds like something like straight off Warped Tour 99. You know.
Okay. That'd be worth listening to.
Yeah, it's called the Runs by the band Scooped Up, but it's on Spotify and Apple Music and all that other stuff, but really cool album. But
As we're recording, it's the 30th anniversary of Lives Throwing Copper.
Is it really? It
came out the year 30 years ago this week, yeah.
I think I've got the, was there a 25th anniversary edition they did on vinyl?
Yep, they did that on vinyl and CD.
I remember picking it up. I don't remember if I actually bought it, though.
You did.
Did I?
You have it.
Okay.
Because I remember you showing it to me.
It's funny, you know my
record. It's got like a shiny element to the cover, I think, or something. There was something special, different about the cover. And it's got like 25 right in the, like, the corner pressed. It's like part of the cover. Okay. So you have it.
I guess you know my record collection better than I do. So
some of it. But, I mean, I couldn't say exactly how many copies of Dark Side of the Moon you have. I know it's in the teens or 20s at this point.
No, it's not.
I know. It's like 10 or something.
I think it's 11. I think I get 11 copies of it.
Well, it's almost the teens, Nick.
I know, but I wouldn't have bought the new copy, the new version, if it wasn't like at least something different.
Right.
Which, that looks really cool. You know?
Is that see-through one with the...
Yeah, it's clear and it's got the UV printed image. I just did a video last week on the channel, YouTube channel, for the release. You know, it's really cool. Like I said, it's different. It's not the same, you know, the other 7,000 copies of it that have been pressed over the last 50 years look exactly the same. So,
right.
They are
exactly the same.
With very few exceptions. There are a couple of picture disc versions, but you know, everything else is just on standard black vinyl. So, this is something a little different.
Yeah.
How many copies of it do you own?
Of Dark Side of the Moon?
Yeah.
Two.
One. Oh, you have two copies?
Well, I have the gold Original master.
I'm not talking about CD. On CD. I'm talking about on vinyl.
Just the one you gave me a copy, yeah. I think, didn't you?
I did. So, I mean, if you want,
but I have two copies.
If you want to include, if you want to include CD, I probably have 1, 2, 3. I think I've got 4 copies of it on CD too. So
there you go. That's why I was thinking teens, because I do count CDs.
Because I've got like the standard version of it. Actually, I don't know. I've got the standard CD version of it. I do have the MoFi gold disc. I've got
Mobile Fidelity. That's what I was thinking.
I've got the copy from the CD box set. I also have the SACD, which is sitting like right there on my shoulder.
Right.
So there's 4. I think I've got 1 other copy of it. I think I've got 5 copies of a total on CD. Mm. So I guess with the 11 copies I've got on vinyl, 16. I don't own it on cassette, and I don't own it on 8-track, so there's that.
Yeah, but you would.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I've got the eight track, and I've got the cassette on my want list on Discogs.
Do you?
Yeah. And whenever I'm anywhere, like in a record store or whatever, I always look through the cassettes and the 8-tracks to see if I could find it. But I never do. I've never seen a copy of it.
Yeah, I've never seen it on cassette. I've never looked at 8-tracks, but yeah, I know what they look like, but I don't ever go through them.
A lot of the 8-tracks I find are like
beat to hell.
They're beat to hell. They look like,
well, that's because the label's built into it's on the cassette itself, so it's sliding in and out. It's going to get worn, you know, from finger, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it was like tumbling around in someone's car for 40 years.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like. But
yeah, the labels are all like worn off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so there's been a lot of really good music that's come out within the last like 2 weeks. I was looking at my list earlier because, you know, we do if you're watching this and you've never listened or you've never seen the Vinyl Den, the end of the year we do a best albums of the year. And actually I do like midway through the year, I do like a best of mid-year version. So I was kind of putting my list together earlier today. I think I'm already up to like 13 albums for the year to talk about.
We'll see how it goes. I know Deep Purple just announced they're releasing a new album in July.
Yeah,
their last one wasn't too bad. So
speaking of new albums from older bands, have you listened to the new single from Motley Crue?
I have not.
Is it that bad? It is, and I am not like. I kind of like the last album that Motley Crue did. It was okay. This is horrible. Like, I think that Mick Mars was 100% right for walking away from the band when he did. It's not a good track. Hopefully,
well, it could also indicate that he was really the core of the band.
Well, I don't know. Well, musically, it's not good. Musically, it's not horrible. It's not good, but, you know, it's not horrible. The lyrics are, like, cornier than shit. Vince Neil cannot sing.
His voice is blown out because that's the type of singer he is. Yeah. It was, you know, his way of singing was not for the long term.
Yeah. And his vocals are very doctored and it sounds that way and it's still not good. But, I guess we're getting a new album from Motley Crue.
Well, they've been talking about it. So,
yeah.
Although I did see it, I didn't read it because I don't really care about Motley Crue that much. But I saw a headline that said that they were thinking about getting a new singer.
They should.
But at that point, I mean, then it's just 2 people from Motley Crue. It's 50% of the band. Just start a new fucking band at that point.
Yeah, they probably should. But but we do have
it's
what
not
else?
Like Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee are like they're the iconic, you know, it's not like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards or you know, John Lennon and Paul McCartney theoretically could have kept the Beatles going individually. They wouldn't have worked, but, you know, because they're Lars and James from Metallica. Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx don't have that. So they would, if they were going to hire basically a new singer and a new guitarist, they would just make sense to start a new band.
Yeah. So we got that coming out. There's also, what else is there coming out? There's a new album from David Gilmour was announced. The new single is out for David Gilmour's new album, which, you know, it's good. I don't, you know, I'll probably buy a copy of it when it's released, but I'm not. All his songs are written by his wife. I've never been a huge fan of her lyrics. You know, she wrote all of the Division Bell, which, you know, I guess some
Momentary of the... Momentary Lapse of Reason, too, right?
No, because they weren't together then. David Gilmour actually brought in session, not session writers, but co-writers to write most of the lyrics for Momentary Lapse of Reason. Hmm. But she did all the lyrics on the Division Bell. She's done all the lyrics on a couple of tracks that he's released.
He's released a couple solo albums since then.
That's what I was gonna say. His last couple of solo albums, she did all the lyrics on those also. But I don't know. It's not the same. Yeah. It's funny to look back at Pink Floyd, because, you know, Roger Waters is definitely not the same musician he was. With David Gilmour. David Gilmour definitely is not the same without Roger Waters, but
right.
I don't know. We'll see how.
See, that's another how it turns thing. Out. If Pink Floyd had broken up, but it was Dave Gilmour and Roger Waters were still, they could pull off just them being Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just those two doing, I could see that continuing as a Pink Floyd thing, but
yeah,
it's unfortunate that, you know, there's so much, animosity between the two of them.
just a little bit. And it's not just between them, it's between Polly and Roger, and you know,
well, if Yoko had taught us anything, it's that wives are not, unless they are a true member of the band, should stay out of band business.
Yeah definitely,
you know.
But so yeah, well, anyway. It's those are like a couple of big albums that got announced recently, but I don't know.
The Decemberists have a new album coming out sometime this year, too.
Oh, do they? I'm
really excited about that.
Do they?
Yeah. They've been working on new material. And theoretically, they could pop out that Counting Crows album because they started recording early this year. But I'm guessing it's going to be more like next year.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to see that until next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most likely. But they could. It could still come out this year. But yeah. It'd be near the end anyway, so.
There was something else I was going to bring up. I was watching... There's a YouTube channel that, like, every couple of weeks they do, like, a live stream on Sunday nights with a couple of other music YouTubers. And I think it was, like, the last one I watched was they were talking about the worst concerts they'd ever been to. And I generally don't, like, I'll turn it on just to have them on, just to give them the view or whatever. But really, they talk about a lot of music that I really... I couldn't give two shits about. But I thought it was kind of funny that one of them brought up that the worst concert, or one of the worst concerts they'd ever been to, was a Jethro Tull concert. And he said it was, I'm trying to remember what year he said it was, like 2016 maybe? Somewhere around there.
Well, that would have been an Ian Anderson plays Jethro Tull.
Yes, yeah, and he did bring that up. But he said that what was bad about the show, well, he said that was the worst he'd ever heard Ian Anderson sing. He said his voice was completely shot, could barely sing at all during the show. But I don't know. You've seen him more recently than I have.
Well, I saw him in November of 2015.
Yeah.
And that was the Jethro Tull Rock Opera tour. So really, he was only singing half of the show anyway.
Yeah.
Because he had other singers singing other, you know, parts of the songs and stuff. Yeah, his voice is shot on stage. He really shouldn't be on stage, to be honest with you.
I didn't realize it'd gotten that bad, though, because I mean, it's been 20 years since I've seen
him. Well, he had really bad nights back when in the late 90s and early 2000s, but most nights it was passable.
Yeah.
Once he got to about 2005, 2006, it was the more bad nights than there were good nights.
Yeah.
Now it's just, you know, he does what he can. He does his best, but it's, yeah.
I mean, he is like 9,000 years old, so.
Right. Well, pretty close. I said 76, but, you know, close.
He's a spring chicken compared to Roger Waters.
And Roger right. Waters, I mean, Roger Waters is 80, right?
Yeah. Roger Waters has never been able to sing, even when he was in his 20s. Yeah. So.
Right. Well, and they both of them come from an era that, you know, singing was important. And let's face it, Ian Anderson at when he was young, he had a decent voice.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Freddie Mercury voice or, you know, an Elton John voice, but it was a decent rock voice. But they came from an era where that wasn't entirely the most important thing. Yeah. You know, if you could carry a tune and had some level of control of your voice, that was pretty much all you needed. You know, now it's a bit more, singing is put way more to the forefront in terms of, you know, as a driving force for pop songs and stuff like that, which is fine, but it's, you know, I think it detracts from, there's a the shift of balance. You know, before it was too much of the musicianship and a little bit of the singing. Now it's too much of the singing and nothing. Musicianship has no one cares about it. So there's just, it's always been an off balance, and I think they need to bring that balance back. Yeah. So that's just my opinion.
And that's funny you bring that up. I just saw a video. It was, I don't know when this interview was from, but it was Billy Joe Armstrong talking about music today. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, the way the music industry is now, yes, you know, you've got like Record Store Day and stuff like that. And there has been a resurgence in physical forms of music, but a vast majority of bands, especially like mid-tier and low-tier bands, can't survive anymore in the music industry. No. He said there was a band that like a medium sized band that people actually know that ended up breaking up just because it was just unsustainable. They just couldn't make money from the current you know, music industry system. But you know, it's kind of caused music to go down different paths. Musicians to go down different paths, to kind of try to find, you know, new ways to make revenue. But I don't know. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Because there was one really interesting comment that someone said on there. I think I took a screenshot of it, if I can find it. So this guy said, streaming is convenient and purely that. Platforms don't allow bands to be louder than others, which completely ruin actual competition between rock bands. Good luck getting off your feet as a small band, because you're not selling records anymore. You are a glorified fashion brand. Streaming is good for everyday people who like background music. It's absolutely terrible for those who deeply value it. Which is kind of funny, because you've mentioned that before about how like younger people today enjoy music in the background. They have no real like connection to it. And, correct. You know, so it's kind of interesting that they kind of said, you know, two main big points in that comment. One is the kind of what you're going at. The other one is like this whole, like, you're like this fashion brand, like you've got to find different ways. And I think a lot of times that ends up detracting from the music. I think if you're, you know, music in the 90s and before, musicians had time to work on songs and just kind of be together as a band crafting their music. And that's not really the case anymore. If you're, you know, you are, yes, you're always going to be a musician, but you've also have to be like part social media influencer and things like that.
And supermodel
to be able to get noticed.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of started back in the, maybe in the late 70s when fashion started to take a bigger role in it. The Sex Pistols, I did not know this, but you've pointed out, they were essentially a made-up band to sell fashion.
Yeah.
But the thing was is that there back then, that was okay because it could influence some kid in some garage to do something real and have a career. You know, that could influence the next Rancid or the next Operation Ivy or the next Green Day. Outside of the fashion side of it, but now it's the focus is fully on the fashion. So even if a band comes out and that hits all the right commercial notes, anyone they're going to influence has to be able to look like that too. And it's, you know, and then the music means nothing. It's completely meaningless to everything.
Well, I wouldn't say it's completely meaningless. I think it's, you know, it's not as big of a piece of the picture as it used to be. You know, if you take,
but it should be the whole picture, at least 90%. I would say,
and you know, I think it was for most of the time. There's always been that extra element to music, though. You know, ever since the beginning, beginning of the 70s when they started shooting like promo videos like that. You know, if you take a pie, you know, there's always been at least 10 to 15% of that pie that's been something outside of the music.
Correct. But the difference is that small bands had a chance back then to eventually become big.
Yeah.
Whereas what that, like that article saying, what we obviously see is that they don't. The little bands don't stand a chance anymore unless they can fit into that 10% of the pie that's all fashion. If they can't fit into that, then at that point, that 15, 10 to 15% becomes the whole pie.
Well,
because then it's no longer, and that's more of a problem now because of the way the music industry is,
yeah,
and the way the money is distributed. So,
but I don't think it's about like fashion. It's more about like gaining a social media following. Is more so. So
well,
it's about you know, and that's kind of the funny thing is like the band Scooped Up that I did the review for. They're fucking hilarious. If you go on their YouTube channel, if you go on their Instagram account, they're like making these funny videos. They're like, the one guy's like pretending like he's reviewing Saviors by Green Day, and he's like, this album is shit, you should listen to Scooped Up by, or The Runs by Scooped Up. So, you know, it, doing things like that is I think it's an example of where bands are trying to grow outside of the normal confines of what music fans or what their listening base is to draw new people into their music.
And that's fine. That's all good. That's the kind of thing that I think, because it's just a band, you know, having a personality.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, important. I have always liked that. I've liked when bands, you know, sometimes even just, you know, take the piss out of themselves.
Yeah.
In that fashion. I love that. But, I mean, you know, it's way beyond that. It's all just very pretty people, and that's all it can be. They're not even going to get listened to unless they're pretty. Now, back in the day, ugly people had a chance.
Ugly people have a chance now too. But
I would say if we look at the top 200 right now, how many of them would you consider not socially pretty?
Several, a good chunk of them.
Name one.
Adele.
No, she's socially pretty. No, she's brave too, because she lost all that weight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, when she got popular, she was not. And she still isn't.
But, well, she lost all that weight. So that makes her brave. That's a socially acceptable level of ugliness. And I'd say Post Malone might be the only exception to my rule. But, you know.
There's others.
I can't think of any.
Yeah. Ian, how many, like, honestly, how many top 200 bands or artists do you really know?
I'd have to look at the top 200 right now, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
There are some out there that are definitely, like, not the greatest look. Now, obviously, they're not, like... When I say that,
because it's always in the eye of the beholder, but socially attractive.
Yeah.
You know, by mainstream social standards.
Yeah. There's definitely some that aren't. But, you know, it's always been that way, though. Like, look at fucking Elvis. You know...
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Pop music, yeah, but real music...
Is real music.
Well, you know what I mean, though. You know, there's pop music, then there's the music that's popular, but it's not pop. You know what I mean?
But they're like, even like Aerosmith in the 70s had that sex appeal. You know, so did Led Zeppelin, Kiss. You know, they all had that.
Kiss?
Yes.
Kiss had to wear makeup.
I know, but that was like part
of it. Because they are ugly motherfuckers in real life.
I know, Gene Simmons looks like a fucking toe. Like.
They're just not attractive people. So they had to wear makeup.
But it was all hidden behind that makeup, though. You know, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, you know, since the beginning of rock music, sex appeal has always played a role in it. Always.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's anything sexy about Hocus Pocus by Focus, the band Focus. They are ugly men.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine, because they're talented.
There's always outliers. Yeah. There's always.
I mean, I would say Jethro Tull is a highly unsexy band. You know, they are not a sexy band.
Yeah, they're not hugely popular either. But you know,
no, they were at one point though.
At one point in their career, well, that's what I'm saying though. There's always outliers, but as far as like the top of any genre, there's always you know, there's always some kind of sex appeal that's in.
Roger Waters is a hideous man.
I'm gonna tell you though, in the 70s, they were good looking guys.
I don't think so. Maybe David Gilmour. He had a Shawn Mendes vibe to him, but Roger Waters is not. He's got a horse face. He's always had a horse face.
I will say Roger Waters, as he's gotten older, looks better. Like when he was really young, and like the
he looks better now than he did in the late 60s.
You're right. He looked like what was that cartoon character with like the long nose? I don't remember what they were.
I don't remember. All I know is that whenever I hear the joke, what's with the long face? What's that?
The creatures with the long noses in the Popeye cartoons. I don't remember what they were called. But anyway,
they all had long noses in the Popeye.
That's what Roger Waters looked like.
Yeah. To me, he's always the origin of the joke. What's with the long face? Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. My point is that take Pink Floyd with their talent then and move them now. I just don't see that band happening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
By that stand, you know, and I think that's part of the reason. It's not about as much about the music as it is about the appearance, the social media.
What I'm saying though is like they definitely had sex appeal in the 70s as a band.
That's because everyone was fucking high.
Everyone's high. Probably there's more people probably high today than there were in the 70s. Ian,
I don't know. I don't know.
A lot of people are high all the time.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. But we didn't come here to talk about any of that, though. We came here. We're gonna at least try to talk about our topic today.
Oh.
And that's
There's new stuff coming out in May. Go watch it. Yeah. Goodbye.
So new movies and streaming for the month of May. Actually, I had to look at the top of the screen to remember what month we were talking about, because we didn't get a chance to. We were supposed to talk about April a couple episodes ago, but we never actually got around to talking about it. So we've skipped over April and gone right to May.
Yeah. Well, I will say, so I was looking forward to April because of the Rebel Moon Part 2.
Yeah.
Which I watched, and I wouldn't say I was disappointed with it, but it really didn't. It should have just been Act 3 of Rebel Moon.
Oh, really?
That's all it is. Yeah, I mean, it's Act 3 of a long movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It was a little disappointing, I'll check it out, but... Yeah. Is there anything off the top of your head that you know is streaming for the month of May?
The new Doctor Who, new season of Doctor Who starts May 11th, I believe, on Disney Plus.
It's gonna be on Disney Plus. Really?
Yeah. Just
the last season wasn't, was it?
None of it has been.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say that. So the 60th anniversary three specials, there are three of them. Those were on Disney Plus as part of the deal, and then the Christmas special was on Disney Plus.
Okay.
But. So we're just, since November, Disney Plus. And then two seasons going forward is what they're contracted to do.
Okay.
So Disney just threw a little extra money their way. Disney doesn't own Doctor Who.
Okay.
It's just a licensing thing.
Well, so. Disney's got a lot of money to go around, so.
Nah, they've been hurting.
They've got less than they had, but.
A lot less.
They still have a lot, though.
Yeah.
There is that Back to Black, which is that movie about Amy Winehouse that comes out in May.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I mean, I'll watch streaming. I was never, I mean, I like some of her songs, but I was never like a huge fan. So it's not something I would go to the theater to see, but I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. I mean, that, I think, was the album called Back to Black? I think is what the album was. It was a great album. I've got it on vinyl, but it's a fantastic album. Probably one of the best albums of the early part of the 2000s. I was trying to click on it and see when it comes out. Release date is May 17th for that one.
Okay.
Oh, what else is coming out that month? I was trying to scroll down through. You got The Fall Guy, which comes out May 3rd, which...
Mm. Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of one of those ones where, like, maybe I'll wait for streaming, because I just...
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to see it in the theater, but I'll watch it once it's on a streaming service. You know, I always like,
because if it doesn't take itself too seriously, it might actually be pretty good.
And that's what I'm hoping. I mean, it's got Ryan Gosling's in it. The TV show didn't take itself very seriously.
I mean, kinda. It seems like it doesn't now because of how goofy it is. Because, I mean, let's face it, the premise is a stuntman like solves crimes.
Yeah,
it's like, come on. But you know. It was the 70s and 80s, so who knows?
Yeah, I used to love that show. It was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, I remember watching it. I don't remember loving it, but I remember
who was the main character in that? Was that
Lee Majors?
Oh, Lee Majors. That's who it was.
Yeah, who was also the $6 Million Man, which is probably why I watched it, because I'd watched the $6 Million Man. Which is funny, because if they were to make that show now, it'd have to be called the $6 Billion Man, because there's no way $6 Million would buy that kind of tech.
I think there was a reboot.
There was a reboot of Bionic Woman.
There was the $6 Million Man also in the works.
In the works, I don't think it ever... They've been working to try to do that.
I don't think it ever, like, got past a script, though.
No.
But I think it was still...
It's so hard to do.
I think it was called the $100 Million Man or something like that, though.
They should just call it the Bionic Man at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a really cool documentary coming out on May 8th on Disney Plus I'm looking forward to. It's called The Beatles Let It Be.
Oh, is that the Peter Jackson produced one?
Is that who's doing it? I don't...
I think so. I think he's done all the Beatles stuff recently, but I think he's doing this one too.
Yeah, because he did Get Back, correct? Yeah. Which that was great. I haven't watched the whole thing. I've only... Because it's long. It's like 8 hours long, or 8 or 12 hours long, something like that. It's like super, super long. I've only made it through like the first couple parts of it because I think I've got it broken up on Disney Plus. But
yeah, it's an episode form. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, I'm enjoying that. I mean, I haven't gone. It's been probably a month or so since I was watching it, but you know, I like where that went. Let It Be is probably my, and it's there was an episode on the Vinyl Den just not that long ago where we were talking about. I don't remember what episode it was, but I had made a comment.
Wasn't the one where we talked about the last albums of a band? The band's last albums?
No, because it was within the last couple of episodes that we did. Mm. Within the last, like, 6 or 7 episodes. And I had mentioned... Oh, it was when we were talking about the Rolling Stones top 500 albums of all time list. And they had...
Oh, that was just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. They had Abbey Road up pretty high. And I made a comment about... I kind of go back and forth between Abbey Road and Let It Be.
And Let It Be.
As the which one is the best Beatles album. And there was like several comments and people were like, what the fuck are you talking about? How can you, you can never say that Let It Be is better than Abbey Road. But I enjoy Let It Be. There's a couple of my favorite Beatles songs on Let It Be. So
one of my absolute favorite Beatles songs is on that album.
Yeah. So, you know,
mine.
I'm definitely looking forward to checking out the documentary when it gets released. Like I said, May 8th on that one. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes comes out on May 10th. That's going to be...
Which looks fantastic, but I haven't even watched the last two.
Yeah, and that's...
Of the first part, of the first trilogy.
I need to go back.
The first one's awesome, you know, with James Franco and John Lithgow. I think it's Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
I love that movie. That movie's fantastic, but I never saw the next two. Because it, you know, it's like... I don't know. It was... A little too post-apocalyptic for me. I don't know. I don't know what it was that turned me off, but I just never got around to watching it. But I need to go watch them so I can jump in. Because Kingdom is kind of where I feel like the original Planet of the Apes started.
You know, kind
1968.
Of.
And that's kind of where I think I want to see the story go more so than it getting to that point.
Yeah, it was... I've seen all of them, but I need to go back through and watch the last couple of movies.
Right.
What else is coming out? Like I said, Back to Black is that's a big one for me for the month. That's probably one I'll probably see in theaters. There's not a whole lot of, you know, typically you come up with a bunch of horror movies, but there's not a whole lot of horror movies coming out.
No, there's not a lot of horror movies.
There is a Night Watch, a new Night Watch coming out on Shudder.
I don't know if I've looked into that one yet.
Night Watch, it's called Demons Are Forever.
There was last month was First Omen, which I do still want to see, but I haven't had a chance to.
Yeah.
But most of the whole good horror stuff's not coming out till the end of the year.
Yeah.
Or closer to the end of the year.
There's a new
Disney Plus does have May 4th. They're releasing a 6-episode. They're just shorts called Tales of the Empire, which is a follow up to Tales of the Jedi from last year. Were animated shorts, which were really good, by the way.
Okay.
And it kind of that one just kind of focused. The first one was it focused on Count Dooku before he became a Sith, young Qui-Gon Jinn, and a young Ahsoka. And then this Tales of the Empire is going to focus on characters from The Mandalorian before. I can't remember the One Night Sister's name, and it's going to focus on Barriss Offee, who was a Jedi. She's kind of a background Jedi in the prequel trilogy, but in the cartoon, she became a lot more of an important character because she actually frames Ahsoka for bombing the Jedi Temple. And it's a pretty dark 3 or 4 episode arc. It's going to focus on her post Order 66, which I think is pretty cool. So
okay.
Excited about that.
Yeah.
If you can get through the animation, which the animation is top notch, but yeah. some people just can't seem to see past the fact that it's animated. I have no problem. I think they're fantastic stories.
Speaking of animated, there is the Garfield movie coming out, which I wasn't going to bring up, except for the fact that it has Sam Jackson in it. And Sam Jackson seems like an odd character in a Garfield movie. He's going to be like...
who does he play?
Hey, fuck you, Garfield, you know?
Actually, I could see him playing Garfield. That would be cooler.
That'd be very good.
Calling everyone motherfucker.
Yeah. So you got that coming out. You've got Hitman with Jason Bateman that's coming out, which it's getting a limited theater run. I mean, I'll watch it once.
Drama or is it a comedy?
Yeah, he plays. It says a part-time teacher moonlights as a mysterious gunman for hire for cops. So I don't know. Like I said, I'll watch it when it's out in on streaming services. There is, yeah. What day is this? I think it's the same day. It's May 24th. You got the Beach Boys documentary coming out. That's going to be on Disney Plus. So you know, I'm not a huge Beach Boys fan. The beginning of the band's career, though, like in the 60s, was really kind of interesting with the whole ties to Charles Manson. And, like, there was a lot of really weird shit.
Well, it was just Dennis.
I know that, but, you know, it's still part of the Beach Boys.
Right.
So I'll definitely stream that one.
That's something I could probably just put on if there's nothing else on. I'd be like, oh, I'll see what that is.
Yeah.
That's how I tend to watch all my documentaries, is, like, if I can't find anything else I want to watch.
Yeah. And then there's a big Jim Henson documentary that's going to be out at the end of the month.
That one I will be watching for sure.
So that's Friday, 100%. May 31st. Jim Henson, Idea Man. It's going to be on Disney. Disney Plus has a bunch of, they do a bunch of documentaries.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, they own the Muppets, so.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that makes sense.
That's why. Yeah. That one I'm super excited about because, I mean, you and I both can say that Jim Henson kind of like, defined our early childhood.
Absolutely.
Sesame Street and the Muppets and even into like the movies and stuff. I mean, Labyrinth and Dark Crystal.
Yeah, I was going to say Dark Crystal is another great one. All that
stuff
is
Jim Henson stuff. Yeah, so, you know, Jim Henson's right up there with Lucas and Spielberg, in my opinion. So
yeah, especially he did some great stuff in the 80s. And, he really kind of helped like redefine that like whole puppeteering genre. Absolutely. that was really popular for, you know, 20 years or so. So
yeah.
Absolutely. I'll definitely
Super
check
excited
that.
About that.
I'll definitely check that one out. But you know, that's kind of it. There aren't a whole lot else coming out, but I don't know.
Now June's got some stuff that I'm excited about, but May was kind of the only thing I'm really super excited about is Doctor Who, because it's the first full season with the new Doctor and first opening
who's
gay doctor.
Who's the
he's
doctor
the first
now?
Black doctor. Shuti Gatwa.
Yeah,
he's Nigerian born Scottish. He was in the Barbie movie.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I
think I know who you're talking about though.
He was he got his big break in the Netflix show Sex Education.
Okay.
He's in that all four seasons of that, which actually is not a bad show. It's a pretty good show. It's funny, but so I'm just I'd be excited about it if it was even someone else playing the Doctor. But he's only had one full episode so far broadcast, and that was the Christmas episode. And he did a really good job, but I'm excited because he does bring a slightly new energy to the character. So
you mean people weren't like losing their fucking mind about it?
Oh no. People have lost their minds about it. No, no question.
People lost their minds about the first female doctor. So
right, and technically he's not really the first black doctor, but he's the first like full time black doctor.
Yeah,
but he's also openly gay. So you know,
opens up a little bit of criticism.
It definitely Well, the whole show has been,
but
it shouldn't. But the whole show's been under fire from the that side of the political aisle, unfortunately. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it does have the potential to cross over into like becoming just ultra preachy and you know how I feel about that show Don't Tell.
Yeah.
And they
the whole virtue signaling thing.
But Russell T. Davis, who's the showrunner now and was the showrunner back in 2005 when the show came back on the air after 16 years. He's an openly gay writer producer too. So he was blending that stuff in again, doing it the right way though, showing and not telling throughout the first well, throughout Doctor Who since 2005. So I don't really know what people are bitching about. It's all been there.
They always find something to bitch about. Come on.
I know. But I just like the actor. I think, like I said, he's bringing a slightly newer type of energy to the character, which could blow up. It could be bad, but so far from what I've seen, I think he could end up being one of my favorite doctors.
Yeah.
Out of the 15 or 16 that have played the doctor. So.
Yeah. Well, if you're, that's kind of it for the month of May. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you drop us a comment. Let us know what movies you're looking forward to checking out this month. Anything else to add, Ian, before I kind of close the show?
No.
I'll take that as a no. Long pause. Any questions or comments, you can email us at entnowpod@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. Give us a review on Spotify. Give us a review on Apple. All that. Do all that YouTube kind of stuff also. But that's kind of it, man. Until next time.
Talk to y'all later.
Peace.
Playing my role, let me tell you about it. This shit right here, man, I'm proud about it. Only real niggas reside around me. Yo, lady, drop a guard around me. Dip like I know you care, bitch. Show me the ropes like we in the ring. Got you two cobras, you wanna hang. Shoulder to shoulder, the niggas basic. You know I won't lie. You know that I ain't for that fuck shit. You niggas aight, but I'm way better and she love it. Know that y'all sick as fuck. Here go this tissue, bruh. We taking the dub, hoping you get you some. This hit like a pick-me-up. She taking my drugs. Know they see the sign. That's some dollar sign. Know they sick as fuck. Know they sick as fuck. Tell them get well soon. Tell them get well soon. Know you sick as fuck. Get well soon. Oh shit, watch out, you the god, Billy Ocean. Right now, and I'm smiling in your face, bitch. With a gold smile, you should probably make placement. To your eye, niggas sick as fuck. Standing with niggas. Who died for that party? Who died for some bitches who showing their bodies? Swear to God, nigga, this Molly got me up and rolling. Need bodies of water. Bring that shit in bottles.